Bible study, we start with asking ourselves some questions and some definitions. And I wanted to ask this question: what do you understand by the kingdom of God, or what is the kingdom of God to you? How, if someone was to ask you, people keep speaking about the kingdom of God, what does the kingdom of God mean in your own understanding? Yeah, so feel free, let's start. Yes, Rentu, go ahead.
Kingdom of, may I say them?
Yes, go ahead. Thank you, go ahead.
Yeah. Kingdom of God is where God dwells.
Okay.
And also where no sin.
Okay, so the kingdom of God is where God dwells and where there is no sin. Okay, fine. Uh-huh. Someone else wants to try. What is the kingdom of God? Good answer. Thank you. Uh-huh. Someone else wants to try. Misty, what is the kingdom of God?
Okay, so to me, actually, the kingdom, what the kingdom means, it is the place where actually the king rules, right?
Okay.
It should be like up above the heaven and also the earth.
Okay.
And also our heart, what are actually good. Yeah, it does.
Okay. Good. I love the words you've chosen. The place where God rules, and it can be in heaven, or it can also be on the earth, where God rules and dwells in our hearts. Amazing. Excellent answer. Uh-huh. Funke, what is the kingdom of God?
The kingdom of God is... I like the parables when Jesus says the kingdom of God is like, and then he tells a parable to make it, but where God has absolute reign, absolute control, and I know it exists.
Okay.
And we also look forward that at the end of time, at the end of this age and all that is it, then there will be the an ushering in into that absolute, where they are all evil, death, sin, everything goes away.
Hmm.
So it's something that exists, but is still going to come in full glory.
Amen.
In future and for eternity.
Okay. So in essence, you're saying the kingdom of God is both a present reality and also a future reality.
Exactly.
And also a past reality. Past, present, and future. But we can experience the kingdom of God now. We can also experience the kingdom of God in the future. I'm going to ask another
Actually, beyond the concept of time, which means it.
Okay. It's beyond the concept of time. Now, this is a question that I don't know who can try. Maybe if those of the theologians were around, and the few. Is there a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? Or it's the same?
I'm not sure if it's true. I have to go and look again and check.
Okay, that will be the homework for everyone today. What is the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? Anyway, let us start and let's see where today's study takes us. It will be a study, so we will take some time on it. Where we'll stop today, and we'll keep building on this. And if God helps us, still almost a number of Mondays or sessions, we'll focus on the kingdom of God, because I feel it's important that it's time we understand. And just to highlight why we are learning the kingdom of God now is because we've been learning about the grace of God. You know, whenever we speak about the gospel, we teach the message of the grace. I mean, the grace of God, the mercies of God, the forgiveness of God, righteousness, you understand? So there is that understanding that we first have when we come to God, that God is loving, God is our Father, He sent His Son to die for us, He is our friend, and He is concerned for us. And we see the side of God as a father, as one that loves us, as one that is concerned for us. And many people stay there. But you see, Jesus said, except a man is born again, he cannot see and he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So that means that there is, once you come to the, you've understood the love of God, then you are translated into the kingdom of God. And the Bible tells us that he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son, of his marvelous son, whom he loves. Now, when God translates us to the kingdom of his son, then the things start to change. And I will want you to understand, and that is why I'm saying there's a transition, because across the year we've learned about the grace of God, we've learned about the forgiveness of God, but sadly many people rarely translate from the grace of God to understanding the kingdom of God and the principles that govern the kingdom of God. And that is why they are not effective as believers on the earth. And that is why I really want us to grasp this concept, and I pray that God will help us. Okay, so that is just the background. Let's go ahead. So we'll define the kingdom. A kingdom is a sovereign rulership and governing influence of a king over his territory, or that means his domain, impacting it with his will, intent, and purpose. Now, you have to think of it that when we speak of kingdom, it's like it can be divided into two words. There is king and there is dom, D-O-M. Now, the king is, we know the king is someone who is a sovereign ruler. That means when we say sovereign, he has absolute authority. What that means is that whatever the king says is law. And you can see so many examples of king. You can think of King Nebuchadnezzar. The guy was such a big king of 120 provinces that the moment he dreams and he wants the magicians to come and tell him what the dream was and interpret it for him, and if they don't, he chops their heads. So now you can imagine that's how a king is. A king has sovereign rulership. That means he has a mandate that gives him absolute authority, and he has a governing influence over his territory. So if you are a king, you must have a territory. You must have a domain, a place where you exercise your dominion over, okay? And when you exercise your dominion as a king, you impact on it your will, your intent, and your purpose. So if you say you are a king and you don't have authority or you don't have power, then you are not really a king. Now, for example, you can think of a prince. Who is a prince? A prince is a ruler without a territory. He might be a future king. He might not be a future king if he doesn't make it. But a prince does not have the authority of the king or the power of the king. He's only given delegated responsibilities by the king. So a prince does not have territory. Now, that is very important to understand. Now, when we say a kingdom, it refers to a king exercising dominion over his territory. Now, whenever a king is, and you can think of us that, you know, who are in former British colonies, you know that there was the king and there was the queen. I mean, the late Queen Elizabeth, and now we have a King Charles. And you can see that they have all these territories that they exercise. And if you go to India, if you go to Bangladesh, if you go to Kenya, if you go to Sudan, if you go to any country that was colonized by the British, they have similar buildings. When you go to those old buildings, they look the same. Why? Because there was a culture that the kings exercise. Now, kingdoms have, you know, unique cultures that define them. So when you find the British, they love to take tea, you know, after food or in the evening, and you know, in the breakfast is this. And that's why you find all these places people take tea and all that. Why? Because there is a culture. Then also, a king has subjects. What does that mean? It means that there are people who must be under your authority as a king. Sorry, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Check it, so hopefully it will be fine. Yeah. So so when we are speaking that a king exercises dominion over his territory, so you will see that there is the influence of a king over his subjects. That's why you can see kingdoms, they have the same culture, people dress the same, they influence their dressing, they influence their food, they influence their music, you know, and then also we can see that kingdoms also advance by conquest. That means any kingdom that is worth its salt wants to increase its territory. So the stronger the kingdom, the more land or territory they have. So one of the things that you will understand is that kingdoms are made to expand territory. And one of the things that we learn and we will see when we look at some of the verses about the kingdom is that God made man to extend the kingdom of God into the realms of man. Okay? So God made man to extend the kingdom of God into the realms of man. So that is something that I want us to understand. There is, and we'll be able to see why this is so. Then, and even from the beginning, Genesis 1:26, the Bible says God made man in his image and likeness and told them, let them have dominion. So man was created to have dominion over the physical earth, the physical earthly domain. But however, man lost his dominion by disobeying God. So when Adam sinned, he lost the dominion or the authority over the earth to the devil, and because he disobeyed God, and we'll see some of the verses that point us to that. And what does God do? He comes to restore the dominion to us, to man, through Christ. And this is where the kingdom of heaven comes in, when the kingdom of heaven comes in. Now, God also gives us a message of reconciliation to bring back men under his government and to exercise the original dominion mandate. The message of the Bible is a kingdom dominion mandate. The fall of Adam was the loss of a kingdom, not heaven. The promise of God was not a religion, but a kingdom. Now, I want us to just maybe, as we'll get back to some of this, but I just want you to understand that. Now, whenever we speak of a kingdom, kingdoms have certain characteristics. Kingdom have a king, so there has to be a king. And then a kingdom has a Lord. And remember, whenever we say, when we are born again, we say, we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I think we all say that, right? Do you confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord? You say, yes. Now, but the question is, when you say Lord, what does it mean? Lord means the owner. When you say someone is your landlord or landlady, that means that person owns that person or owns that property. You understand? So if you have a landlord, the landlord is the owner. So in a kingdom, we have a king who is also, in many cases, the Lord, but it might be other servants who might do the aspects of lordship. Then we also have a territory. We've spoken about that. Every kingdom must have a territory. Then every kingdom must also have what? Its constitution. Now, when we speak of the scriptures, we know that God is our king. And you say the kingdom is sovereign rulership of a king, a sovereign ruler. That means whatever the king says or whatever the king wants is his what stays. When the king wanted his dream interpreted, if no one can interpret his dream, the head went. That is the king. So the king has sovereign, absolute authority. Then he is also Lord. That means we have to obey. If someone is your Lord, you obey them. Then there's a territory. Remember, the kingdom of God, God was content with himself, but then he decided to make a physical realm. But then when he made the physical realm, he gave it to man to have dominion over it. So man was given a kingdom by God. Now, a kingdom also has a constitution. What are the rules? If you go to India, you'll find certain constitution that guides their rules. If you come to Bangladesh, you'll find certain constitution. If you go to UK, you'll find certain rules. So every kingdom has its rules and its constitution. And for us as Christians, our constitution is the Bible. The scriptures, they tell us how we are to live and how we are not to live. So if you're a member of the kingdom of God, then there are certain things and certain behavior, certain culture, certain music, certain language by which you live. Why? Because you're a member of that kingdom. Now, also, a kingdom must have citizens. Citizens have certain rights. Now, if you're a citizen of your country, then you have certain rights as a citizen. You can own land, you can do certain things because you're a citizen. But now, also, the Bible tells us that we are citizens of heaven. We have certain rights. Then also, a kingdom has certain laws. You must obey them. A kingdom has certain rights and privileges that are for members of that kingdom. A kingdom also has its army. It has its protection. A kingdom has its servants. A kingdom also has its economy, its commonwealth, okay? Then we can also see that a kingdom has also its form of worship, whether it's personal, corporate, or religion. Basically, every kingdom, there is no kingdom that is without religion. If you go to all these kingdoms of this world, you'll find that they have a form of worship. So worship is a kingdom principle. And so by the grace of God, we will start to, you know, to go by and by, look at what are some of these laws, what are some of these principles, what are some of this guidance. And by that, we'll be able to understand. So let's start and see since it's Bible study, we're going to see how do we bring in this idea that God gave man a kingdom, or God created man for kingdom. The Bible tells us, Genesis 1, and remember, God had made the heavens, the earth, he made everything ready for man. And then verse 26 says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, let them have dominion. Now, very important words. He's saying, let us make man. And here he's not referring to Adam alone. He's referring to the entire mankind. And that is why he says, let them. Who is that? The men. Let the men have dominion. Now, that means that if you have dominion, then you are a king. Or rather, you're given rulership over a territory. So man was given dominion, but you see the owner of it all is what? Is still God, but man was given dominion. So now what does it say? The Bible says, let them have dominion, and the dominion is over what? Over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. So when God made man, he gave him dominion and he gave him rulership. Remember, dominion is rulership. Rulership over what? Over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every living thing that creeps on the earth. That is what, to tell you that everything on the earth is given to man for his dominion. That means that you have authority over the fish, you have authority over the birds, you have authority over the animals, you have authority over all the earth and over everything that creeps on the earth. That means that that is why all these animals, I mean, whether it is a lion, man has been able to tame it or to keep it, to lock it up, you know. Look at the, I mean, you come to this side and you find buffaloes and they're farming for people. And you're like, but buffaloes are very wild animals. But you see, man has been given authority over this. You go to the fish, man has authority over that. But you see, man was not given authority over fellow man. And that is one thing you must see also. Also, the man was not also given dominion. That means you're not supposed to dominate another man. You're not also supposed to dominate a woman, because it was the dominion was given over these created things. And this dominion was given because God wanted man to have dominion. And you see, one thing about God is that when he has said something, it becomes law, because God, his word is his law, okay? So whatever God speaks, it is his law. And then when he creates man, because, you know, there are always two aspects. There's a spiritual creation and then the physical creation. Now, the physical creation is now where God makes the man from the mud and then breathes into him his nostrils. And then the Bible says he plants a garden and then he puts man in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And then the Bible says, and the Lord God commanded the man, you're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you shall certainly die. The Lord God said, then it's not good for the man to be alone, and I will make him a helper suitable for him. So you can see, God already gives man the earth, and this is now the principle of stewardship. Who is the owner of the earth? Who is the owner of everything? It is still God. But you see, he has given man a delegated authority to govern the earth, to rule over the earth, to have dominion over it. And he has given him responsibilities. But you see, there are also rules and guidance by which man was supposed to live. And you can see in the middle of the garden, there were two trees. There was the tree of life, and there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, man was not told not to eat of the tree of life, but he was told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So there was only one tree he was not supposed to touch. But why, as someone will ask, but why did God put the apple? You know, I know they call it an apple, but we don't know whether it was an apple or an orange, but it was a fruit. But you ask yourself, but why did God put it there? It's because if God wanted to make man in his image and likeness, he made him with free will. Free will means you can choose to love God or you can choose to hate God. You can choose to obey God or you can choose to disobey him. The choice is yours. You decide how you want to relate with God. Otherwise, God would have made us robots, and a robot will not have dominion. But God wanted man to have dominion over the physical created realm. Then let us see something else. Look at Psalms chapter 8, verse 1 to 9. The Bible says, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your hands, of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them, you have made them a little lower than the angels and have crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the work of your hands. You put everything under your feet, all the flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea and all that swim on the parts of the seas. Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And Psalm 115 verse 16 says, the highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind. That means that God has said the heavens are his. The highest heavens belong to God, but the earth he has given to mankind. And that is to tell you that man was given the authority over the earth. That means that if anything is to happen on the earth, it happens with the authority of a man. If witchcraft is to come, if demons are to come, if the devil was to influence, it came with the authority of a man. But also likewise, if God is to move in a land, if God is to have an influence in a family, if God is to intervene in your life, it also comes with the authority of man. It is you that invites God. That's why Jesus taught us prayer. Ask the Lord that the kingdom be done on earth as it is in heaven. You have to be the man to stand in the gap. Why? Because God has given the earth to man. The heavens are his, but he has given the earth to man. That is why you and I, we have a responsibility for the earth. Now, let me take a pause and ask the question. What does that make you think? How does that make you feel so far? When we're speaking about the kingdom, when we're speaking about God creating man for dominion, and how the earth has been given to man. What does that mean to you? This is free and open for any reflections. Let's go. Am I being heard? Or I got lost again? Yes, go.
We can hear you. It's a very interesting subject that you are talking about. When you reflect in terms of dominion and when you reflect on free will, I think, you know, like you said that most people would say, why didn't God just prohibit men from having access on the tree of knowledge? I think, but then now when you look at how God has created men and in his own likeness and given men that ability to make choices, I think that also it means that even the choice to have dominion or to overcome, you know, God has given us the ability and the choice to overcome. So it's now a question of how willing are we or how prepared we are to have that dominion in the world that we are supposed to govern. So it makes me also to reflect and see, you know, the diversity in terms of people where some choose to, you know, to just not act, and then they become docile and maybe they lack even the motivation to do things, and others are having that passion, that zeal to be able to dominate and also do more. So I think it also goes to that point whereby when we're talking about dominion, to say that it is now that free will that we were given, it now depends on the individual, on how determined or how hungry you are for you to be able to, you know, to exercise dominion over your life and over maybe the situations, and even to be able to be prosperous. Thanks, Dov.
Thank you for that. You're given the free choice either to let life happen or to make life happen for yourself. Anyone else with a reflection? Okay, if there's none, we can go ahead. Now, God gave man dominion. He created him for dominion. He said, let them have dominion. And we can see that the highest heavens belong to God, but the earth he has given to man. Now, what happened when man was deceived by the devil? The fall of man was actually the loss of a kingdom. And let us see how the scriptures point us to that. Luke chapter 4, verse 5 to 8. The Bible says, then the devil, taking him up, who is it? Jesus, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship me before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Now look at that. When the devil was tempting Jesus, he tells him, he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And he tells him that, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. Now I will ask the question, when did God deliver the kingdoms of this world to Satan? No. At no point did the kingdoms were delivered to Satan. But you see, there is someone who handed over these kingdoms. Who is it? It is Adam. Adam and his wife, when they sinned, they handed over the authority of this world. They handed it to the devil. That is why he tells Jesus that if all these things, they have been handed over to me, they have been delivered to me, and I give it to whoever I wish. And that is why even today you find those who sell their souls to the devil, when they give their souls to the devil, they are given some of these things of this world. They are given some wealth, some are given influence, some are given cars. You know, they become famous, but they have sold their souls to the devil. And they will say it in their music, in the way they behave. Either they will sacrifice something, because the devil is able to give these powers and this wealth and these dominions of this world to anyone he chooses who worships him. But you see, it comes at a heavy cost. But you see, the devil was never given this authority by God, but he was given by Adam when Adam sinned. And look at what Romans 6 verse 16 says. It says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness." That means that Adam was ignorant of a spiritual law that states that whoever you present yourselves as a slave to obey, you become a slave to that person. That means the moment you obey the devil and his dictates, you become his slave. Whoever you obey, when you know, because Adam was ignorant. But you see, ignorance is not a defense. He did not know that he was losing a kingdom. He was losing his authority by believing the devil. And that's why the Bible says Adam, Eve was deceived, but Adam rebelled. You know, Adam was not deceived. The Bible says Adam was not deceived. Why does it say Adam was not deceived? Because Adam knew the truth. Eve was deceived, but Adam knew. Him he chose. Adam chose to eat the fruit. So he rebelled. And by him obeying the devil, he became a slave and he lost the kingdom and handed it over to the devil. Now, what does the Bible tell us about Satan? It says, Satan is called the ruler of the air, or the prince of the air. Ephesians 2 verse 1 to 2 says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." He's also, the other versions call it the ruler of the air. So he's called a prince of the power of the air, the spirit who works in the sons of disobedience. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 says, 3 says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ, of the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." So it says the God of this age, or the God of this world, has blinded the minds of unbelievers. When you see people are lost in sin, when you see people are killing people in the name of religion, you know, when you see people, they think they are on the right track, yet they are wrong. It is because they are veiled, they are blinded. The God of this age, the God of this world, has blinded them. Now, 1 John chapter 5, verse 18 to 19, it says, "We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God, God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one." Now, this is telling us that we know that anyone that is not in Christ, he is under the control of the devil, whether they like it or not. And the devil is controlling all these kingdoms, controlling presidents, controlling, you know, all these rulers, these big organizations. Why do you think they are advancing things that are for the devil? It is because they are responding to their ruler. They are responding to their God. Now, Colossians 1 verse 13 says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion." Remember, when we speak dominion, it's kingdom. King and his domain. So other versions will say, "He's rescued us from the kingdom of darkness," or "from the dominion of darkness, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." So we can see that Satan took the kingdom from Adam. When Adam sinned, Adam handed over the kingdom to the devil. And because he handed it over, Satan became the god of this world, or the god of the air, the prince of the air. And now he blinds the mind of unbelievers so that they cannot believe the gospel. And anyone that is, we know that it's God, we know that the whole world, and this is the cosmos, you know, is under the control of the evil one. So we can see when Adam, the man was created for dominion, God gave him dominion, but man lost his dominion. when he sinned, because the scripture tells us whoever you choose to obey, you become a slave of that person. But then, oh, there's a great blessing. Jesus came to restore the kingdom to mankind. Jesus came to restore the kingdom. Matthew 28, and when Jesus ascended, what does the Bible say when he was about to go? Matthew 28, verse 18, he says, and Jesus came and spoke to them and said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Amen. So the authority that the devil thought he had, Jesus said, now it has been given to me. Why? Because he went to the grave, he picked the keys of hell and Hades, he made a public spectacle of them over the princes and the rulers of this world, he defeated them, triumphing over them over the cross. So Jesus came to restore the kingdom. And now he says, now you go and make disciples. So now there's a new mandate that is being given to the disciples. Why? Because they are the ones who have believed in him. They are now what? They are the ones who have been now brought into the kingdom of God. And now they are told, now go therefore and make disciples. Now the authority is no longer just in heaven and on, is no longer just on the earth, but now it is double. It is heaven and on earth. And now this is where it is now called the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because the kingdom of, I say there's a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, and I say that is homework. But now when Jesus restores and brings that kingdom, now it becomes both kingdom of heaven and on earth. Why? Because he takes both authorities, both in heaven and on earth. Now Ephesians 1:19-23 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things, say all things, under his feet and gave him, that is Christ, to be head over all things to the church. That means the authority that God has given Christ, that is above all principalities, all powers, all might and dominion. That means over every kingdom, whether it is of the devil, whether it is of principalities, whether it is of powers, all that dominion has been placed under Christ. And the Bible says he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. That means that if you are not the church, you don't have this authority. And that is why the sons of Sceva, when they went to cast out the devils beat them. Why? Because they don't recognize their authority. You see, whenever you go and do something, I say, you're going, when you go to the work, you say, when you go to the camps, you say, I'm going in the name of this organization. And you are allowed to do whatever work you need to do. But if you go in your own name, you will not be allowed to enter. Why? Because you're not going with the authority. When we say we are praying in the name of Jesus, it's not the name that we are calling, because there are people who will try cast out devils in the name of Jesus. But it means the authority of Jesus. You are going in the authority that you have been given, which is this authority that he has. Now, 1 John 3 verse 8 tells us, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So Jesus came to restore the kingdom back to man. And we can see even when he started to preach, Jesus was preaching the kingdom. It says, the Bible tells us, Matthew 4 verse 17, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near, or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Luke 17 verse 20, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God will come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will you say here, see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. So let's go back. We've seen God made man for dominion. say, let them have dominion, let them rule over the fish, over the birds of the air, over the animals, over every creeping little thing. Man was put in the garden to take care of the garden, but he was given one rule: don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now the devil came in the form of the snake. He deceived Eve. Then Adam rebelled, and by him obeying the devil, he forgot the unwritten rule, Romans 6:16, that whoever you choose to obey, you present yourself as a slave to obey, you become a slave of that person. If you want to obey drinking and smoking, you become a slave of it. That's why people are under control. So Adam lost the kingdom. That's why the devil now became the ruler of this world. And that is why even when the devil went to heaven, remember the book of Job, the Bible tells us that the sons of God came and presented themselves, and even the devil came. Who gave the devil that authority to go? It was the authority of Adam. Adam was interacting freely with God because Eden was the place where the kingdom of God and the kingdom of man was interacted. And earth, heaven and earth was interacting freely. That's why God will come in the cool of the day and meet man. But you see, now because man gave away his authority, now that's why the devil goes there with access. That's why he was asked. Even God was not surprised. He said, oh, you have also come. What have you been doing? He says, I've been going up and down the earth, looking to and fro. That is the movement of the devil. He is now the prince of this world. The Bible says the prince of the air. He's working in the spirit. He's working in the sons of disobedience. He's blinding the eyes. You know, he is destroying the whole world. He's under his control here. But then Christ comes to restore the kingdom to us. And when we are restored in the kingdom of God, then the authority that Christ is given is restored back to us. And remember, now we are under the kingdom. We are rescued from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of his Son. Then now the question is, when you understand your authority, when you understand the power, when you understand that you're in the kingdom of God, how is it that you're going to live under the kingdom of God, as a child of the kingdom? Now this is where now you start to learn what does the king want. Remember the king, we said the king has sovereign authority. So we worship the king. We serve the king. You know, we know everything that we are given is by stewardship. We don't own anything in the kingdom. Everything belongs to the king. It belongs to him. We are also subjects of the kingdom of God. We want to expand the kingdom of God. And that is why when he says, go and make disciples of all nations, go and expand the kingdom of God. So Jesus came to restore the kingdom back to man. And it is given to the church to steward it. And anyone that is a child of God has the authority of the kingdom of God. And that's why he says, don't think that it will appear. The kingdom of God is within you. And that is why you have power as a child of God. But if you are to exercise that power, you must know that you are submitted to the King of Kings. That's why he says he's the King of Kings. He has made us a kingdom of kings and priests. We are both kings in that he gives us a form of his authority to rule the earth, but also we exercise that authority, the same authority that he has given Christ. We are seated with him in heavenly places. So I will stop there. What are your reflections? What does that make you feel? What does it make you think as we reflect about the kingdom of God and the introduction to the kingdom of God? Over.